Lana said nothing. She clipped the receipt for the box of chalk to her ledger book so that she could list it in the column of itemized deductions that always accompanied her income tax returns. She had already bought a used globe of the world. That, too, was stored in the cabinet. All she needed now was a book. When she saw George next, she would ask him to bring her one. He must have some kind of book left over from the days before he had dropped out of high school. Lana had taken some time to assemble the little collection of props. While the plainclothesman had been coming in at night, she had been too worried and preoccupied to attend to this project for George. There had been the major problem of Darlene, the vulnerable point in Lana's wall of protection against undercover policemen. But now, the plainclothesmen had gone away as suddenly as they had appeared. Lana had spotted each one as soon as he had entered, and with Darlene safely off the stools and practicing with her bird, the plainclothesmen had nothing to go on. Lana had seen to it that they were actively ignored by everyone. It took experience to be able to spot a cop, but a person who could spot a cop could also avoid a lot of trouble. There were only two things to be settled. One was getting the book. If George wanted her to have a book, he could get it for her himself. Lana wasn't about to buy a book, even a used one. The other was getting Darlene back on the stools now that the plainclothesmen were gone. Having someone like Darlene on commission was better than having her on salary. And what Lana had seen Darlene do on the stage with the bird told her that, for the moment, the Knight of Joy might do better if it decided not to cater to the animal trade.
"Where's Darlene?" Lana asked Jones. "I got a little message for her and that bird."
"She telephoned and says she'd be in sometime this afternoon to do some more rehearsing," Jones said to the advertisement he was researching. "She says she's taking her bird to the veterinarian first. She think it's losing some of its feather."
"Yeah?"
Lana started to plan the ensemble with the globe, the chalk, and the book. If the thing had commercial possibilities, it should be done with a certain finesse and quality. She envisioned several arrangements that would combine grace and obscenity. There was no need to be too raw. After all, she was appealing to kids.
"Here we come,"
Darlene called happily from the door. She tripped into the bar in slacks and a pea jacket, carrying a covered birdcage.
"Well, don't plan to stay too long," Lana answered. "I got some news for you and your friend."
Darlene put the cage on the bar and uncovered a huge, scrofulous rose cockatoo that looked like a used car, as if it had passed through the hands of many owners. The bird's crest dipped, and it cried horribly,
"Ugh!"
"Okay, get it out, Darlene. You go back to your stool starting tonight."
"Aw, Lana," Darlene moaned. "What's the matter? We've been doing good in rehearsal. Just wait till we iron out the kinks. This act is going to be a boffo smash."
"To tell you the truth, Darlene, I'm afraid of you and that bird."
"Look, Lana."
Darlene took off her pea jacket and showed the manager the tiny rings attached to the side of her slacks and blouse with safety pins.